Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, we're going to feature the conclusion of my interview with Brian Bird, the executive producer of the Hallmark Channel series, When Calls the Heart. Brian will talk more about that show, as well as share insights from his 30 years of experience in Hollywood about the cultural influence of movies and television. After that, we're going to feature a special message from former director of The Christophers, Father John Couture. He has long been a proponent of joy being the hallmark of a Christian life, and he's going to give us some basics on how we can each become more joyful people. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and today we're featuring the conclusion of my interview with Brian Bird. Brian is a veteran Hollywood writer and producer who's worked on shows like Touched by an Angel and the 90s sitcom Step by Step. He talked about his latest project, which is the second season of the Hallmark Channel series When Calls the Heart. It's a family-friendly show that's got Western elements, romance elements, and a touch of Little House on the Prairie, and it's so popular with its online fan community called The Hardys. Brian also told us about a movie he wrote that's coming out called Captive. It's the true story of a former drug addict, Ashley Smith, who's taken hostage by a murderer. Ashley uses her faith in God and love of her daughter to bring hope to the situation and save the day. On today's show, Brian and I will talk about the influence that movies and TV have on our culture and how Christians should approach the shows and films we watch. Now, here's the rest of my interview with Brian Bird. Now, you know, we're talking about your TV career, your movie career, and I'm just curious because people always talk about how culturally influential movies are. But personally, I've always thought TV series in a way are more powerful in that respect because people watch TV. It's like a week after week experience, and it's like you build this relationship with the characters. I'm just curious, what's your take on the cultural influence of television versus movies?
I'm 100% with you, and I think it's especially the paradigm shift that's happening now, where we're going from, you know, everybody tuning in to the four big networks every week for their favorite must-see TV episode. Things are changing, mm-hmm. and now we're binge-watching whole seasons in Netflix's, making a season and then delivering it all at one time, and Amazon and Prime and Instant Video, and you know, some of these other players are getting into that kind of business, and the networks are actually having to change their model as well. They're going to shorter seasons, you know, 10 limited run seasons, 12 episodes, 10 episodes, instead of the traditional 24 that we used to get. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the paradigm is shifting, and I think it's shifting because people are able to watch anything anywhere at this point on their phones, on their iPads, on their own television sets, in their, you know, they're in their own little room. So it's a niche sort of business now, but I do think television is like that relative that comes to live with you, and and sometimes it's the, you know, the crazy uncle has bad language and mm-hmm. foul, you know, behaviors. Sometimes he's the nicest guy in the world. So, but it is a family member. That television or that iPad or that iPhone, they're family members now. And I do believe that the media conversation is the loudest conversation going on in the world right now. Sadly, louder than the church's conversation. Mm. And it's capturing the hearts and minds of everybody. And I spoke at Willow Creek Church one time with Lee Strobel. We did sort of we team taught a pastor's conference or had a session at a big pastor's conference there. You know, 3,500 people in the crowd. And I said to them, to these pastors, I said, if you don't do more to up your game, you're going to lose them to people like me. And mm-hmm. I'm not the enemy.
Yeah.
Because I'm spending, you know, upwards of several million dollars a week, not me personally, but, yeah. but the show, mm-hmm. this is what they cost. and 150 people and, you know, at least a month of prep time, I'm delivering those episodes to your congregation every week. How much time are you putting in on your on what you're delivering, right?
Mm, yeah.
What kind of a team are you building? Now, obviously, you can't spend millions of dollars on the Sunday worship service for your sermon. But what kind of a team do you have around you? Because we have 150 people working on our sermon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was just a bit of a challenge because this is a TV and film. You know, in a sad way, are the church, are the new church experience people are having. You go to a film and you're sitting with 150 people watching a movie and you're laughing and you're crying together. That's a church experience.
Yeah.
It's what George Barna also said.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now bringing church to people's homes, you know, and I church in quotes, obviously, small c. I'm not comparing the two, but I'm just saying the hearts and minds of the viewers are in the hands of the people who do the most preaching.
Right, right. And their spirits are being fed in certain ways, almost like in a church.
Exactly. And if a pastor is not a cultural warrior, know what the competition is and know what those people are consuming 7 days a week, you know, 6 days a week, and he gets them for an hour on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It's a
tsunami.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Brian Bird. He's a writer and executive producer behind the Hallmark Channel's series When Calls the Heart. Now, as Christians and we viewers, and I'm including myself in this, we often talk about the message of a particular show or film, and you kind of referenced this earlier. But I also feel that we can overemphasize that sometimes to the point that the message overshadows quality storytelling and character development. Because, you know, you worked on the weekly series Step by Step. You know, I enjoy sitcoms going back to I Love Lucy. These shows didn't have a message per se. They were just entertaining and funny. So how do you deal with that tension between creating a message and just good entertainment?
Well, I actually would slightly disagree with that, the premise that there are some things that are just entertainment.
Okay.
I think some maybe more poorly executed than others, or their, you know, their goal is to get as many yucks and laughs as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for a fact all the writers that I've ever worked with, you know, collaborated with on projects, there's always some meta message that we're trying to communicate.
Okay.
In a story. Whether it's family or you know, some of these same, you know, violin strings that I mentioned earlier that get plucked.
Mm-hmm.
And these themes that get plucked. Everything I watch a lot of films and television just because I want to know what other people are good at and what they're communicating. And there absolutely are meta messages happening in every film.
Okay.
And it depends on whose worldview is at the table. You know, who has come to the table there? Who's the one doing the preaching?
Right.
To me, every piece of entertainment is going to communicate something, and it just depends on who's the person doing the communicating and what worldview they have.
Right, right. So sometimes Christians think that Hollywood hates them and is out to destroy them. And I know either you gave a talk a couple of years ago about 10 commandments for how to be a Christian in media. So tell us, for our Christian viewers now, does Hollywood hate people of faith?
Absolutely not. There's no conspiracy there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conspiracy to make money.
Yeah.
That's the only conspiracy that exists. And last time I checked, most Christian bookstores are in business to make money too. They couldn't exist if they were operating at a loss all the time. So it's a conspiracy to make money. And Hollywood is amoral in that way. They will do whatever it takes to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happens that the people whose rear ends are in the chairs making the decisions, they're bringing their own worldview to the table. So if they're not coming from a place of sort of, you know, having some sort of a Christian worldview or a religious worldview, that's just what they believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just making their decisions based on that, but they're not saying, hey, how can I destroy the family?
Yeah.
The fact that there's so much, you know, edgy material on television right now is, I believe, partially just the marketplace at work. When you have the media pie that used to be four slices, you know, with all the four major networks, mm-hmm. now 100 slices, all the slices are much smaller, right?
Right, right.
So how do you steal market share from your next door neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get louder.
Yeah.
You got to get more sensational.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are they doing it? They're pushing the boundaries because they're trying to get attention. In this day and age when everybody has 1,000 choices in the internet and all the channels and all the games that they have to play, you know, how do you get their attention? How do you capture them? Well, you get louder, you get more sensational. The marketplace forces are what's pushing all this edgy entertainment to me in a big way, not people having a conspiracy to destroy the family. It's a nature of the marketplace at work, and unfortunately, that doesn't always work correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? The capitalism model doesn't always work in everybody's best interest always.
Have you seen more of an influx of Christians trying to get into the industry because of programs like Act One and such?
Absolutely, I have, and I think it's a function of the digital age, of the YouTube generation as well, where everybody and his brother are movie makers now, or they think they are. And I believe there is an influx, and I think there's a lot of great new talent that has been building. And the fact that Hollywood is actually paying attention, they're putting these shows on or these movies in the theaters, that because a lot of them are doing decent business, mm-hmm. right? Because there is a new kind of gold rush happening right now with, you know, I think Christians wanting to be effective and wanting to have their voices heard. And I love that. I support that. I want to help nurture the people because I've been doing this for 30 years. I've learned all the hard lessons and made all the mistakes. And I want to give people the benefit of, you know, being able to shortcut some of the mistakes.
Right.
Right. You have to earn, you know, not just everybody was born a movie maker or
sure.
a screenwriter or
mm-hmm.
a director. A lot of it is, you know, instinctive, but then you got to put your 10,000 hours in, as Malcolm Gladwell says.
Yes, yeah.
In Outliers, expertise takes 10,000 hours to acquire, and no matter how gifted you are. So, to me, it's all good, but it's just as it's more noisy than ever. There's a vast layer of noise across the culture,
yeah.
and there's a lot of junk. There's a lot of expensive junk that the studios make, and there's a lot of junk that people spend no money on, and it's not really anything other than just noise and competition for the people who legitimately have voices that need to break through. But it's an exciting time to be able to get your stories in front of people. That's for sure.
Right. I'm talking to Brian Bird. He's the writer and executive producer behind the Hallmark Channel series, When Calls the Heart. So before we wrap, tell me, what are your hopes for people who watch When Calls the Heart season 2, Saturday nights at 8 on Hallmark Channel? What do you hope they get out of it?
I hope they get a sense of what it means to be a family again. Somebody once asked me about our town, the featured town in When Calls the Heart,
mm-hmm.
The small town, the coal mining town where everybody lives. You know, somebody asked me, I think, member of the press, we were talking about, some of the things that are lost to our culture, like family meals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? That used to be an experience every night. Everybody would sit around the table and have a meal together and share their day and talk. And that is becoming a rarer experience for me, in my own life. It's rare now, mm-hmm. more rare. And I think it's rare for everybody. And so this reporter, you know, asked me, so, well, who in this town, this one calls the Heart Town, would be having dinner together? And I said, all of them. right? Because yeah. it's the kind of place it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want this show to be like what the Waltons, I'm not saying it's old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I want it to be an experience like people had with Little House on the Prairie and with the Waltons and with Bonanza and, you know, it's experiences like I had watching these shows with my parents. One of my best memories with my dad, who's now gone home to be with God. He and I loved Magnum P.I. together
oh.
when I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it was a detective show, and it was not specifically a family show, but there was some thrills to it and some action and some humor. But what a great memory I have of that. Well, you know what? We're all off in our own little rooms watching television by ourselves now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not a good thing. It's at least something we need to balance with some shared family experiences, and I hope that our show is that once again for families to take advantage of.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking with Brian Bird. He's the writer and executive producer behind the Hallmark Channel series When Calls the Heart. It starts season 2, April 25th, Saturday nights at 8 o'clock. Like Brian said, this is a revolutionary show in that it reintroduces family time to television viewing. I watch the show with my parents who are seniors. People can watch it with their kids. It's got romance. It's got Western elements. It's just a fun show, and it's a great show to watch together, like Brian was just saying, with your family, regardless of age. It's one of the few opportunities that TV can be a communal experience again, like it used to be. So tune in to When Calls the Heart, Saturday nights at 8 on Hallmark. Brian, thanks so much for all the work you're doing and for talking with me today.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor, and I'll be looking forward to listening to your show more often.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute with a message from former director of the Christophers, Father John Couture. But first, here's a message that the Christophers would like to share with you.
Loneliness is a problem that affects us all. It's something that can occur even when we're surrounded by other people. Nothing can fill the void created by this feeling except a deep connection with God and others. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Overcoming Loneliness. It offers reflections on how we can grow closer to God during times of isolation and how love and grace can help us make new connections and find peace. To request your free copy of Overcoming Loneliness, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and next up, I'm sharing a message given by Father John Couture. Father Couture served as director of the Christophers for over 17 years, and the one message he always returned to then and since is the concept of joy. He believes joy should be the hallmark of the Christian life, but he doesn't mean it in a shallow way. It's not about denying the fact that life has its struggles, but rather realizing that the love of God is with us through it all, and that should make us joyful. In essence, it's about lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness. So how can we achieve this type of joy? Well, here is Father John Couture with some insights.
Hello, I'm Father John Couture, and welcome to People of Joy, your introduction to spiritual joy. First of all, joy is not a feeling, it's a way of life. By expanding your mental horizon to enter this way of life, you'll find a higher level of joy than you've ever known. As a child of God, you have the right to experience supernatural joy. For many years, I have given talks to priests, sisters, and people just like you, and I often open with the question, what is the central message or keynote message of Christianity? And after the audience offers a variety of answers, they usually agree that love is the key idea. And so I ask, then what is the recurring motif or theme of the gospel? And they usually come up with a variety of ideas. Love, sacrifice, the cross, salvation, grace, prayer. But surprisingly, the word joy is almost never mentioned. And then I read this quote from the writings of Pope John Paul II. Christ came to bring joy. Joy to children, joy to parents, joy to workers and scholars, joy to students, joy to teachers, joy to the sick and elderly. joy to all humanity. In a true sense, joy is the keynote message of Christianity and the recurring motif of the gospel. And then he adds, go therefore and become messengers of joy. Well, a look of surprise usually appears on their faces. Why? Because they're learning something they didn't realize before. And I've come to the realization that it's difficult for most people to be joyful. Life isn't easy. There are always problems to weigh us down. But on the other hand, we were made for joy, and there is in us a human faculty turned to God's inner life, a life of total joyfulness. And this faculty is called the soul. I don't remember anyone ever teaching me how to enjoy the Lord. Perhaps it was supposed to be self-evident. If so, it wasn't to me. And only after years of struggle was I able to piece this puzzle together for myself. It isn't very profound, but it has helped me and enabled me to help others find a path of joyfulness. God wants to be loved and enjoyed by His children. He made us for an eternity of joy in heaven. It's our destiny. And from our earliest days, we were taught in religion class that our purpose was ultimately to be happy with God in this life and forever in the next. But if only the teachers had spent more time telling us how to do that. Serving God has always been stressed in school, and doing religious things has always been encouraged. But enjoying one's life with God? Who taught that? And yet, enjoying the Lord is the business of every Christian. The experience of spiritual joy should be cultivated. In this sense, you need a real consciousness of your union with God. This is essential. Fortunately, this union does not depend on your love for Him. You may not even think of God, but it does depend on His love for you, so that the relationship is set by baptism. You're brought into His love. You may have to struggle to acquire virtue, but God's love is given freely without any need for merit on your part. No amount of struggle or effort could make you worthy to attain it. So His union with your soul is a free gift. All you have to do is believe that you are connected. Try not to let your doubts take over. I'm fully aware that the Lord said, take up your cross and follow me, and that God cannot be reduced to a country gentleman who makes no demands on us. Love is hard. But I believe we're called, above all, to open ourselves to His love. This is the challenge of Christianity. Jesus taught us this great lesson on the cross. Accepting the life God has destined for us and living it as courageously as possible is the highest act of worship we can offer to the Father. The Lord God has always loved you, even in your sinfulness. He's desired to unite Himself with you before you even knew Him. God is with you now as you hear these words. And He's always with you. The degree of your participation in God's interior happiness increases as you gradually open to His love, responding to it with gratitude and joy. It's not enough just to know theoretically that God is love or that God is present. We should consciously experience His presence and respond to His love with joy. Simple, unforced, uncomplicated joy is the highest prayer. Spiritual joy, I call it joy with a capital J. It's really God's life abiding in you. It is an awareness that lasts. It is something added to any other happiness you might have. Anything that you may be feeling at any given moment. You don't need someone to define enjoyment when you're slaking your thirst with a cold, clear glass of water. And you don't need any assistance in defining the joy of loving God either. It's a rich spiritual pleasure which comes out of silence and a consciousness of one's union with Him, with divine love. The presence we seek within us is God, who is love. And your response is silent and distinctly your own. All you need is your faith and your ability and your availability. That's important to realize that you're responsible for your own happiness And since spiritual joy is the basis of true human happiness, you can begin to take responsibility for achieving this joy. There are no steps needed in experiencing spiritual joy. All the steps are abandoned. What is needed is the simple desire to love God and to enjoy His presence. One either knows this or doesn't know it. One either enjoys or does not enjoy. My aim is to help you to elevate your aspirations to the point where you will enter more deeply into the marvelous possibilities for a happier life in God. Instead of worrying about the worthiness of your prayer, instead of stewing over your failure to be perfect, think positively. Turn to a higher level of interaction with God. Because actually, joy is being your best self. Decide to be joyful. It's an act of the will. You decide to please God by living joyfully because of the knowledge of His love. You decide to be joyful, and you do not have to force feelings of any kind. That's important. You don't force feelings. Let go and let God do the work for you. And that means even if you don't feel joyful at any given moment, you just claim it. You claim it. Either you accept God's teaching or you don't. It's your choice. The idea of loving joyfully may seem too good to be true, but it is true and it is possible. Accepting the Lord's words, and you will be on your way to experiencing the greatest joy you will ever know. I know that you've already begun your journey. You already know that joy can improve your health, release your bitterness, reduce your stress, soften your hard-heartedness, and even build up your immune system. Joy can fill you with a deep satisfaction which will abide with you on good days and bad. Eternal bliss may be a distant goal, but you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to enjoy your precious life. You can begin right now. In the bright and beautiful promise of eternal happiness, I send you my warmest, deepest sentiments of love. May you feel the power of God's love working miracles in your life. May the risen Lord help you to remain strong and unwavering in your faith. And may He give you a heart full of love for God and neighbor. May the Lord be your strength and your joy. God bless you.
I want to thank Father John Couture for sharing his insights about joy with us today. For more of his work, you can visit his website, johncouture.com. In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.